Okay, before the Super Bowl, talking with Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff. Bill Newell is here with me. And coach, first of all, congratulations. We're recording this on the day that you went to Foxborough. Yeah. And talking with a lot of guys, especially Paul Ingram, just a great experience to this point of going up there. So let's start with today. How was it at Foxborough?
It was great. It took us about 3.5 hours to get down there. We got into traffic in Lynn. Yeah, 3.5 hours. There was a shooting on the Lynnway. But it was great. You know, one of the things that made it a lot of fun was the fact that Dan Bauer went with us, you know, our principal now and a guy who's won 2 Super Bowls, you know, just a couple of years ago. And it was, you know, as excited as we were, I think Dan was excited to go back again and be there. And you know, you're like a kid in a candy store. Your eyes are wide open. You know, there's Drew Bledsoe, there's Andre Tippett, and, you know, and there's Gillette. You walk out onto the field with the kids, and as a coach, I'm excited for them, but I'm excited too, you know, and you want to act cool. You want to act like you don't care, but it's special. You know, it really is. If this is what you do and this is what you love, then getting a chance to be there is special.
Coach, it's a fine line, I think, isn't it, between getting ready to win, to play to win, and yet also trying to get the kids to enjoy that experience, because you never know if you're going to get back there again.
Yeah, and I think we're fortunate in that we were there in 2009 and we didn't win. Now, I can say that now. You know, 2009, I would like to have said I wish we had won, but we can now apply the thought process that, you know, let's win it this time. You know, we had our fun last time. It was fun to be the first time. That was the new thing. And we've got that out of our system, and now we're there to win it, you know, and I really feel like that's, the kids have taken that mantra. The kids are, the coaches feel the same way. I think we're better prepared. We've been able to put a lot more, apply some of the things that we know from the last time we were there. And that's really helped. And I think our attitude this time is let's win this thing.
Coach, maybe you can elaborate more on that. What does that mean to you as a coach, having going through it now the second time, and having a Coach Bauer, you know, your principal, kind of, you know, being along for the ride as well, so to speak, as a, you know, as just the principal. But what does it mean?
You know, having all that experience, there's not a lot of unknowns, and that's huge, because so much of what we do and so much of what goes into if you're having a successful year is not that you're guessing right, it's that you've prepared correctly. And I think the better prepared team usually wins in our league. And if you're able to prepare for everything, and because you already know it's going to happen, you'll be better off. In 2009, we lost because we lost. You know, we lost because their players scored more points than us. So I don't want to make excuses, but on the second play of the game, our headsets went out. And when the Super Bowl was over, and I mentioned that to a few coaches, they all said to me, "Oh yeah, yeah, you got to get your headsets recalibrated if you go to the Super Bowl." Yeah, Gillette, you need to be. And I was like, "Oh good, I'm glad I know that now." So we didn't have headsets. So this time we brought our headsets. We made sure that they worked. We did the things we needed to do, make sure we have those. But, you know, that's really what that experience means, is having, you know, not only that I learned my lessons a little bit, but it's also having someone like Dan Bauer there to say to you, bring your headsets, make sure you have your headsets, you know, and all those other little things. It was more comfortable being there, you know, today, but just it's preparation. You know, it's all about preparation, and I just feel like we're going to be a little bit better prepared this time. We're going to ride in coach buses rather than school buses. It's a long ride, and for the high school kids, you know, if we're going to dip into booster money and make sure that they arrive with fresh legs, that's worth it, you know, and a bathroom on board. I guess those are two things that would be worth the money.
One of the things I look at this, coach, is when you get to 11-0 and you get to go down there and compete in the Super Bowl, the fact that you're allowed to take your captains, your coaches, and so on, is almost like a, I don't want to say a trophy, but it's almost a reward in itself, in the way that the Kraft family, the Kraft football, the Patriots football organization treats high school kids, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, absolutely. Today was all about the Krafts kind of extending their arms and saying, you know, welcome. Because to be honest, on Super Bowl Saturday, it's a different feeling, and that's nobody's fault. It's the fact that they're trying to jam 6 or 7 games into Gillette Stadium and have it run smoothly. Your bus pulls up, you're out, you're in the bubble, you're warming up, you're on the field, you're playing, you're celebrating, you're off the field, you're out of the stadium, you're on the bus, you're home. And that's, and everything goes very quickly. And so this is your opportunity to really spend some time there, get to know the people, get on the field, and take a deep breath and enjoy the experience a little bit, because as much as it's an enjoyable experience on Super Bowl Saturday, you're playing the game and you don't have time to really take it all in.
So, okay. All right, let's get to X's and O's, if we could, Coach, and talk about your team, because we've covered quite a few of your games. And I remember early on against Wakefield, we did, I think it was the first or second game of the season, Paul and I were talking about, wow, what's the identity of the Marblehead offense? And it seemed like there was an identity crisis, but as it turned out, you use all those guys.
Yeah, that's been exactly it. And we felt the same way. We didn't know what we had at the beginning of the year. You know, we even took a kid that's probably our best two-way player on our entire team, Bo Millett, played the first three games at tight end, and then we moved him over to left tackle. Our strength has been the fact that I think that we have so many weapons, and it's not that we're great and we have so many weapons. It's fact. We have so many weapons. I think in the way we treat our offense a lot like a wing T team, that we will try to, if you're going to take this away, then we're just going to move over to this. And having those kids that have the ability to execute the type of offense that we run is what's made us so successful. So Drew is able to distribute the ball to different players and make sure that they're able to get, you know, just first down, something that doesn't kill a drive. And then Drew himself, because our offense has run pass options, run options, that Drew's able to make the correct reads and he's able to keep things going too as well. So, you know, you really want to try to have at least on every single play, you know, if you're thinking like a safety or a linebacker, you know, is the quarterback going to hand it off, run with it, or throw it? Right. And if he is going to throw it, where's it going? You know, that's really kind of what, you know, if we're able to do that, but you've got to have 11 guys on offense that can do it.
Well, I was going to – the North Reading game, for example, it was a very close game there, and I think North Reading kind of shot themselves in the foot. Your defense stepped up late in that first half, I believe. But you came out in the third – even before that, was it Lopez, I think, was nursing an injury?
Yep.
And you put Frontera in, didn't miss a step. And then in the second half, you opened up with Harry Craig as your prime receiver and just moved right down the field. So it was amazing.
Yeah, and fortunately, you know, I mentioned this earlier in the season. We, at the beginning of the season, we knew that we had a lot of skill players this year and a lot of kids where we had to try to fit kids in, and their backups would be pretty good. So we decided on putting on the back of our T-shirts at the beginning of the season, Next Man Up, which Chip Kelly came up with in Oregon to basically tell the team that, listen, it doesn't matter if someone's hurt. It doesn't matter if someone misses a game. Whoever is their number two, we put our trust in them. And that also puts the emphasis for those kids and puts the stress on those kids that you'd better be ready. You know, you have to be ready. As you just mentioned, you know, Sam Frontero, both with the North Reading game and with the Thanksgiving Day game, he stepped up and probably did everything that Jason, you know, we would have asked Jason to do. He does it in his own way, but, you know, it was seamless. We've Manning Sears, who last year led the Northeast Conference in receptions and touchdowns, has been nursing a sore hamstring all season long. We've had him total, I think, four games. And so we had Bo Millett for three and Andy Clough. And Andy Clough caught, you know, critical touchdown pass against Gloucester. And I believe the other one was against Lynn English. So you have kids really, you know, third string kids in some cases. And I wouldn't even consider him to be a third stringer. But we've had everyone, when we've needed someone to step in, they've stepped in. And that's just made us a very, very all-around team, good all-around team this year.
Jim, I know offenses get headlines. They get in the newspaper. You know, those guys get covered. But defenses, that's the real strength of your team, is one of the additional strengths of your team. Tell us more about your defense and how that has progressed this year.
Yeah, we this year we knew that we've assumed that would be the strength of our team because of the fact that we didn't have a starting quarterback coming back and we were missing a lot of linemen. So we lost more on offense last year, but we had almost everyone returning on defense. We needed to replace a middle linebacker and an outside linebacker. So we thought that we would be strong. It was just how those kids would gel together eventually and fit some of those other guys in. And it took us a little while. You know, it seemed like in the first couple of games of the year that we were going to end up being one of those bend but don't break type of defenses, that we were going to give up drives. And Peabody would be a good example of a game that where they put together a good drive against us. Gloucester certainly was able to do that. Sustaining drives, getting good drives against us. But for the most part, I think we average letting up 9 points a game. You know, we're very happy with that. Justin Faye made some incredible interceptions this year. Aiden Gillis, Bo Millett and Sammy Frontero, I would say, have made some, you know, very, very good defensive plays and key stops. Our two safeties, Sam Paquette, Derek Marino, have been fantastic for us. Those two probably more than anyone else have grown as players and have gotten better. And Harry Craig really in the last three games, especially that North Reading game, just became a man at linebacker. And we asked a lot of him. He was an starting outside linebacker for us last year and maybe one of our best defensive players. And it's not that easy just to start playing inside. And Harry did that for us this year and struggled a bit against some of the teams that sent guards right out at him. And so we had to try to figure out ways to make Harry successful. And once it clicked for Harry, you know, Harry was very successful for us. And then, you know, it was kind of at that point when Harry really started going that our defense, you know, became very, very good.
Scott Cooper said early on, Marblehead was a team with a mission. And then last game, I think it was North Reading, Matt Williams asked you a question about what was the difference between last year and this year with respect to training. And you mentioned the weight room, which I'm sure had to help probably, if not everybody, at least the linemen.
Yeah, the weight room thing for us wasn't so much. Our kids have always done a really nice job in the weight room of getting ready over the summer. You know, they put their time in. We have 6 a.m. workouts for all student athletes, and the football players are there. They get stronger. They do the things they need to do to be ready for the season. I think we're always one of the most competitive teams in the beginning of the season because our kids work hard in the summer. Last year, we noticed something that was alarming, and the thing that made it so apparent was the opposite of it was Danvers. Danvers was getting stronger as the season went on. And we realized that we needed to do something different to make sure that our kids were stronger as the season went on, because it's all about the playoffs now. So we just switched the days that we lifted, some of the ways that we lifted. We had a $30,000 donation into our weight room by a booster in town that, you know, has made a tremendous difference. And our kids have really bought into it. And so it's not just that we are stronger. You know, we're not bigger. If you see us, you know, you see us not in pads, it's not that impressive. But it's the fact that the kids have maintained their strength. It's helped prevent injuries. But more than anything else, you know, we're able to hold our ground now. And again, we're not that big. But if a team does try to run it down our throats, you know, we're at least able to hold our ground.
I just have a couple more thoughts. And one is, I was thinking this on the way here. I didn't realize it would took you that long to get to Foxborough, but I was thinking it's a long road to Foxborough, figuratively and literally. And you go back to August, and here we are in December. It's gone very quickly. And I don't know, Jim, is there a lesson that you've learned this year from your kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think you coach every team differently. You know, we have what we like to call a system here. And, you know, our system dictates what we do a lot on offense. And our offensive practices are very, you know, they have a very particular tempo to them and order to them. Defensively, that changes a little bit week to week by the opponent that you're playing. But as a coach, you know, I think this year it's learning the different ways that you coach your kids, the way you handle your kids. You know, some kids need a little bit more encouragement to participate and participate with gusto, let's say. And then a group like these guys here, it's more of a fatherly approach. They listen. They want to be coached. They want to be great. And you can have very honest conversations with them. You know, gentlemen, we can't do this weekend. You know, we can't, you know, we have to be in bed early. We have to eat right. And then, you know, the same thing before a game. You know, there's no Newt Rockne speeches that this team needed. This team needed, you know, we needed to, you know, sort of go down a checklist before a game. And at halftime, the same thing. We needed to check in on a few things, adjust a few things, correct a few things with the kids. And it was very, you know, the approach was very mature with this group of kids. So, you know, that's for me, at least, that's what we learned. It is a long road and you learn a lot about your team as things go on. And you know, regardless of what happens on Saturday, this is, you know, going to be a team that I'll always remember because it was just not fun to coach them at the same time, but it was very cerebral. It was very, you know, it was the kids could pick up everything that you were putting down, and you know, we'll see on Saturday. You know, we're trying to do some things on Saturday that we've never had to do before, you know, technique wise, because of we haven't had to play a flex bone triple option team in the last few years. So it'll be interesting, you know, if these kids can pull it off on Saturday, it's going to be something special.
That'll be my final question, but before that, what's been the role of your captains this year, Jim?
Well, we were lucky because we let the kids vote for the captains. The only thing I say to the captains is, just like the players, each coach gets a vote, and so we don't put ourselves above the players, and we don't pick the captains. We let the kids do it. The one thing I always tell the kids, though, is I will veto someone. I won't vote someone in, but I will veto them. Mm-hmm. The kids voted in, you know, four terrific kids that have both proven it on the field, in the weight room, and in the classroom. So you really couldn't go wrong with these guys. And they all bring, you know, something different to it. You know, the tremendous amount of respect that everyone on the team has for Bo Millett. You know, Bo's kind of been the man in his class, you know, ever since he was, you know, just a little tyke. Manning is kind of our, you know, our caveman. You know, he's the one that will yell and get everyone excited. And will occasionally catch himself posing in the mirror too. You know, Jason Lopez is just a little dude, but you know, Jason, because of that, you know, has had to work so hard and has had to outwork people to be able to get where he is. And he's so soft spoken and he's such a nice kid. You know, he's the type of kid that, you know, just about everybody here at the school would let babysit their kids. You know, I mean, he's just one of those kids that you want your kids to be around him. He's just a nice person, and so the kids respect that and they see that. And then, you know, Harry Craig is, you know, sometimes I feel like he's a son to me, because Harry, his older brother Spencer, was here too, and you just can't ask for two nicer kids. You know, with Harry, it's, he works his butt off. He'll argue with you like a son. You know, he gives you the shrug of the shoulders, like, what? You know, like I don't know what I'm talking about when I'm teaching him something. And it makes for a special relationship, because you know you're going to get everything that he has. You know that he's never going to be late for anything. You know that he's never going to lie to you. You know that you're never going to get any BS. And it's just, you know, it's just toughness, and he gives you everything. So you can't ask for more than that. But at the same time too, you know, you're going to, like with Harry and I, you know, we'll butt heads every now and then because of the fact that he's, his nickname is Angry, you know, Angry Craig. And so, but it just, those four personalities have brought so much to this team, and they've done such a great job leading the team. It's made coaching, you know, a breeze this year.
That's fantastic. We've learned so much about your team, Coach. I appreciate it. Final thoughts. Falmouth presenting a unique challenge with their offense and so many good players as well.
Yeah, there. I mean, without a doubt, you know, we've played some very talented teams this year and kids that are very talented, but we have not faced a team like this where there's 11 kids on the field that can all, you know, run with us. And probably, I would say that probably the majority of the kids are faster than ours, which is why they're running the offense that they're running. They do have some bangers. You know, they have a 305-pound lineman, a couple kids that are bigger than our line. Their line is bigger, but I'm not going to say that's, you know, something that's going to be a massive, that's why they run what they run. But it's really, you know, the flex bone triple option. Coheeg, I think I'm pronouncing it correctly there, quarterback, is going to BC on a baseball scholarship. What normally a quarterback in that offense gives you is a smart, good decision maker who can run the ball. And really what makes their offense special this year is they have a spread quarterback who can do all those things. He throws as well, if not better, than anyone. I mean, he has as many touchdown passes running that offense as we have running the spread. So he has a couple kids, some speedsters that can fly down the field with great hands. They're coaches do a great job. Their coaches, they don't just run the flex bone. They don't just, you know, they didn't go out buy a playbook and are running an offense. They have the same system that Paul Johnson runs at Georgia. They know how to read your stems. They know how to read your shades. They're going to make adjustments during the play. They're going to make adjustments after the play. They're going to make adjustments between plays. They're going to make adjustments at halftime. They're not just, you know, calling plays, and that's what's going to make them so difficult to defend. They know exactly, you know, when to go to unbalance or trips or anything to try to get you to commit, and you know, they're very, very intelligent team. So you put all that together. They've got big, strong kids. They've got fast kids. They've got a great quarterback and a great coaching staff. So, you know, we're going to have a battle.
So I've got to let you get back to coaching your kids is what you're saying.
Yeah, at some point I want to be able to. I mean, the truth of the matter is I'm sitting here talking to you while probably somebody out there is running a practice with my guys. Right. I mean, our guys are you know, they would do fine without me. Trust me, if a brick falls on my head, they'll be okay.
Yeah, okay. Coach, final thoughts about Marblehead and this fantastic season that you guys have had.
It's been great. You know, I just, again, you know, to point out, you know, having Andrew O'Neill as our athletic director has been great. And you know, Andrew's new at the job, and he's done such a great job for us. Dan Bauer's been a terrific help. He's a friend of mine, but he's been such a great principal. This school has changed so much since he's been here. You know, everybody on Friday wears black and red, you know, and everyone takes pride in everything at Marblehead. You know, our drama department, you know, our arts, you know, there's a lot of pride in the school right now, and for us to be able to be a part of that and contribute to the pride has been fantastic.
Good luck, Coach.
All right, thank you.
Marblehead football coach Jim Rudloff.